Who's going first?
Well, I'll introduce us first. I'll say where we are. So it's the 23rd of October 2011, and we're at, I'm Christine Schimmel, and we're at my house on 13 Main Avenue, and I'm with Anne Rose and Betty Hoyland.
No. Betty Clark.
Betty Clark, Hoyland as well, yes.
It's me Hoyland.
Hoyland. Mm. Ah, right. You got introduced to me as Betty Hoyland.
We always think of one of single names.
Yes, that's possibly why.
Yeah.
Interesting. So would you like to introduce yourself then, Betty?
Yes. My real name is Elizabeth Clark, but a lot of people will know me as Betty Hoyland. Of Hillfoot Road, Totley. I was born on Leamount Road, when I was about two, we moved to Shrewsbury Terrace at Butts Hill, and when my dad had just finished decorating the house, he looked out of the window and all could see was a big wall, and he said, "Nance," that's my mother, "if you think I'm sitting here watching that wall," he says, "you're mistaken. Arthur Evans has had the cottage, elder cottage on Hillfoot Road. He's had another bedroom and front room put on. Will you go and ask him if we can have it?" And she did. And we moved to Hillfoot Road, elder cottage, Hillfoot Road, when I was about three and a half. And then my sister Pat was born. That would be in 1938. I was born in 1934. And I lived there until I got married when I was 23. I have a sister, an elder sister, Mary Wint. Everyone will know her because my mum lost the first husband when he was 22. These days you can have a heart bypass, in those days you couldn't, and he was 22 when he died. And then she married my father, Joseph Hoyland, Joe Hoyland, and 6 years later they had me, and then my younger sister, Pat, she's 3.5 years younger than me, and we live there. Do you want me to carry on?
So you live there, sort of, there was your parents, Mary?
There was Mary, yes. Mary's 12 years older than me. Right. But I'm afraid she died in 2002. We lost her. Mm. And she married in 1942. She used to work at the co-op in Totley, and during the war she was the manageress there, and she met a husband, Benny. Everyone will know Benny Benjamin because he used to be the photographer at the Telegraph and Star, and he was on Lim Hill, is it? Is that what it's called? By the Shepley Spitfire.
Oh, do you mean the White Lane that runs?
Yes,
up?
That's right.
Yeah, the White Lane.
Well, he was up there with the he was with the searchlights during the war.
Down at the bottom there,
he was camped there. And he met my sister in Mr. Shaw's Fish and Chip Shop on Totley Rise. And in 1942 they got married. And then they lived with, well, in those days, of course, you didn't get houses, you all lived together. So he went abroad then, and I left my mum, my dad, Pat, myself. And then my dad went into the army. He drove a tank, and he was sent abroad. So we were all girls on our own. And what I remember about the war especially, I was outside playing one day, and the paratroopers, they used to be on the rifle range at Totley. Also, they were on the recreation ground, okay, in the corner. They had like wigwams. And we got very friendly with them because Mr. Fields, who was one of the cooks at the in the war at the rifle range, he used to come up and use Mr. Evans's bacon slicer, And of course he could bring all these...
Now he'd got a shop, hadn't he?
He had the shop on Hillfoot Road. And he had a daughter, Rita Evans, and Frank Evans. And Mrs. Evans used to be at the bakehouse that was next door, and she did all baking all the bread and cakes and tea cakes. And my mum was in one day when Mr. Fields was cutting his bacon, and she asked him, how did he get on with his ironing? How did they manage to do their ironing when they were in a wigwam? and he said, that's my trouble. He says, we have to wait in a queue for the ironing. So she said to him, well, if you're stuck, why don't you bring your ironing up to me, you know, and you can borrow my iron any time you want. So of course he used to bring his bacon up to Rita's, and a little bit of bacon used to go to Mrs. Hoyland. He had a wife, Adrian Fields, and they just had a baby, and he was dying to see the baby. So Mum said, well, you can bring her here, she can come and stay with us, and then you can see her, which she did. So it was lovely having a baby boy in the house, and they called the baby Adrian as well. And
let's go over to Anne. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Anne Rose, nay begin, and I've lived in Totley since 1942. I lived at Hunter's Bar, but the cottages belonged to my grandparents and said, would we like it when one came vacant? And so father was in the ARP at Hunter's Bar. And an incendiary bomb dropped on the house next door, and my father was trapped in it. So eagerly they said, yes, we'd come, although at Hunter's Bar with a bathroom and a kitchen and attic, cellars, and several rooms. But when we came to Totley, there was only two up and two down.
So whereabouts were you in Totley?
That cottage. A cottage in Totley Bents.
Oh, yeah.
It's two up and two down, and now...
So this is the cottage that's next to the Grouse Inn, isn't it?
Behind
the Grouse Inn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And was it the
end one? Yeah. And there was... my mother and father, Horace and Kitty, and an elder brother, Roy, and a younger brother, John, and myself. And we managed. And the toilet was outside, a midden toilet, and it was unbelievable after leaving Hunter's Bar.
So can you describe a midden toilet?
A midden toilet is a piece of wood with two holes in. And you had newspaper to wipe your bottom. And
was it in like a shed, like a...
It was like an ordinary small room. It was lime washed, and this wood across, and there was two holes, but one hole was for the cottage next door, and we hadn't to use that one because she scrubbed that one, and there was only two of them in that cottage, and with five of us being in the other one, as you can imagine, it was filled up more. But and then Mr. Fisher and the men used to come and dig it all out every week. I don't know how they did it, but they did. And I can remember my cousin coming, and my mother would never let her use it. Oh, no, you mustn't go and use that toilet. Whatever she wanted to do, she had to do in a bucket. And funnily enough, that girl came to live next door when Mrs. Ward died. And they took it, but they had it. At the time, they were giving grants for altering your cottages, you know, or altering your property. And she put a bathroom in the property. But Mother and Dad didn't have a bathroom or a toilet, proper toilet, till 1957, when I got married. They used my bedroom for a bathroom. And I used to go and have a bath. At Glossop Road Baths each week from school, from work. And then just before I got married, I used to go and have a bath at the Grouse. They weren't in it. It was the people before that owned the lot. And that's where I used to have to go and have my bath when you think of the kids today, they must have everything separate, mustn't they? But no, we've managed to live.
Yes. Yes.
Very, very basics.
Yes, yes. And not a lot of privacy, is there? Is that... Were you aware of that then, or was that something you just accepted?
We accepted.
Our toilets were outside, but they were... Ours were flush toilets. It was just... there were three altogether. There was Dronfield's and Evans's that had the shop. They used to come down the back passage. And then we had the one behind. And there were three toilets.
But Bent's is a bit further out.
That's
the sewage pipes hadn't got that far at that point.
No, they hadn't.
Yeah.
It was lovely. Quarter of an hour's walk to the bus every day.
Did you go up the little...
Up the fields.
Up the fields.
And
did you go along the path?
The family that lived in the cottage before us was called Fox. And my father, to the day he died, cursed Mr. Fox because he put that path in of granite cobbles and under your feet, you could feel every stone. But he did a good job because he was related to the people in the cottage opposite the cricket. That was Taylor's.
Yes.
And it's Taylor's now. Mm. But it was a Taylor's and Mr. Fox was related to them. And he put those cobbles up all that way. And a beautiful fence. And everything was lovely. Mm. Beautiful. We sledged down those fields. And often finished up in the river. But and on the tip, just after the war, there were Italian prisoners on the tipping at the bottom of those fields.
So when you come down the little lane, the cobbled lane, it's directly opposite you as you come onto Penny Lane. That's the tip.
Okay. That's the big tip, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The first tip. Mm-hmm. Then the next tip is opposite our cottages, just up. Then the next one is up two fields away.
And this is the tip from the tunnel being built.
Yes, it's all the.
And of course, in the war, you've got sentry boxes with the soldiers in with the gun. They used to be on the tip, on both tips, on all the tips. Mm-hmm. There was the sentry box with the soldiers in. They were supposed to be watching over the tunnels. You see, you know, with the pepper pots, and.
Tell me about the Italian soldiers.
Well, the prisoners there, but I mean, they were lovely. I mean, we were children. We never had any problem with them. And
were they prisoners of war?
Yeah. But, I mean, the Italians weren't on our side at first, and then they did change, didn't they? But they were lovely chaps, you know, and we, as I say, we were children. Never thought anything about it. And I mean, we used to go to the dances and come down those fields. My mother did come to meet me at the bottom of the fields, but we never thought anything about it. Yeah. Today you don't let your child in your garden.
No. But also, the prisoners of war were in Gillyfield Wood, and they were chopping trees down in there.
Oh.
And we used to take our trolleys with a sack on and go into Gillyfield Wood. And they'd fill they'd do as chippings, as they called them. And they'd fill the sacks with these chippings for the fire. Well, no coal, you see, so we burnt the wood.
Yeah.
And they'd fill it for us. And they were really nice. I suppose they missed their own children at home. So they made, you know, a lot of us, you know.
Yes.
Then we'd take them, you know, pull our trolleys back up again, ready for next time.
But on the recreation ground, as you know, down by the cricket, they had all the bell tents there, the paratroopers, and we used to get drinks of orange from them because they got them in Naffy. And I don't know if anyone's told you, there was three concrete sort of, what do you call them, huts, I should say, at the top. As you stand on the top lane, Penny Lane? No.
It's Lane Ed Road.
Lane Ed Road,
yeah. The one that's at the top, They used to, as you're going through the gate, the kissing gate at the corner, there used to be three big brick built and concrete
sheds
or whatever. They used to, it was a naffy. And they knocked those down after the war, well after the war.
Yeah.
It was a shame, really, because they could have been useful.
Mm.
And
so they were just like bungalow buildings.
Yeah, but they were long things. Yeah. I don't know whether somebody slept in them, but I think it was the sort of the naffy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Everybody shared everything, though, didn't they?
Well, my mother never drank tea. So she swapped her tea ration with a lady that lived on the main road. They were vegetarians. So they had a lot of cheese. So my dad, every day of his life, ate cheese. So she swapped the tea with their cheese because they drank a lot of tea. So, you do that. And the allotments, food off the allotments was wonderful.
Is this the allotments at the cottages?
Yes, side of the school. Well, it came right down. The cottages came right to the Hillfoot Road, the allotments. Not as it is now.
No. Did it cover all of the school fields? Yeah,
yes, all of that field.
Well, the school fields.
Was allotments. And then the boys from school, those that didn't pass scholarship from 11 to 15, grew potatoes on those fields, didn't they?
Yeah.
I've seen photographs of the boys picking the potatoes, potato picking. But with some happy hours at school because we had maypole dancing.
Now is this the
church school? Yes. Oh, that's the only school there was.
The only school.
Yes.
And you see, our teacher, she lived up here.
It's Mrs. Peacock.
Mrs. Bungalow. Peacock. You know that house that's had a lot of houses built in it?
Yes.
In the garden?
Yes.
And it's the bungalow just before it was Mrs. Peacock. That was a teacher.
I thought she lived in the semi-detached.
No.
At the end.
No, in the peak, in there, down there. But, I enjoyed school.
Yeah.
I used to love school. But my brother was a bit of a rogue. He left school at 13. Oh, he was, him and his mates were right lads.
Like, what did they get up to?
Well, it's all in the record. You want to get hold of some of the record books from school. My brother and Toby Apson, I don't know if you've heard of Joe Apson,
yes,
his brother was the same age as my brother, my eldest brother, Pete Hassel. And when we were at school, during the war, we had to take a penny for chocolate for when we were in the shelter. If we had to go in the shelter, there was a raid coming over Totley, we had to go in the shelter. We never did, thank God. Go in the shelter only for practice. So they kept these bars of fries, double. They were milk and plain. You remember them?
They were gorgeous.
And they kept them in the shelter. Well, my brother Pete Hassel and Toby Apson went and helped themselves to it. And they used to hide them on what I always call my mother's tip, the one that's opposite the cottages. And they, of course, they found out the headmaster, Wood. Mr. Wood, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then Mr. Miller came.
It was Mr. Wood,
was it?
And all the mothers had to pay back the ration from the ration books to replace it. But as it happened, we never did go in, did we?
All the sweets were rationed anyway, so you got 2 ounces a week. Was it a week?
Wasn't a month, was it?
No. They were rogues. But they didn't do really bad things that they do today with knives and guns and...
No. It's an understandable thing to have done, isn't it? If you're short of chocolate.
No,
that's
chocolate.
And this chocolate was sat there. Yeah. Very tempting, isn't it?
I mean, we lived on broken biscuits from Mr. Evans and carrots. We did get carrots.
Now, Mr. Evans has mentioned a couple of times. There were. So, can you describe the shops they were on Hillfoot Road?
As you go down Hillfoot Road now, going down, it's literally the first old cottage, not these new things that's been built. First old cottage was the shop. And just round the corner stands back a little cottage where Betty lived.
Hmm.
And there's now a cottage for sale, if you've been down the lane. Uh-huh. That was Dromfield's. And going into Betty's yard, into the yard where Betty lived, there was a... There was a building, and that was used for Totley Sports Social Club billiard room, and we used to have cinematograph things, yeah, film shows. Oh, we thought we'd got everything as children. We all used to crowd into this room.
And is this place still there? It's still there.
It's still there, but it's been made into a flat.
It's a house now, you know. It was
made a flat for the son of the house.
So Mr. Eaton, he used to do these cinematograph shows.
What sort of things did you see?
One of my favourites was The Loch Ness Monster, Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, cartoons and things like that. And then Mr. Ronksley used to come round with his ice cream van, and he'd bring his lollies, and we thought that was great. He'd only got bits of ice cream, because they were usually like Lion's ice cream that were round, about an inch and a half. Mm. But then walls, you see, that had gone. You know, we didn't have Walls ice cream. It was Lion's ice cream, wasn't it? Mm.
Was it children? Or just children?
Just children.
We all went and let the parents pick us up, you see.
One of the women in Totley, she was called Elsa Fox, and she adored children, and she used to do all sorts of things for us, you know, when we were, you know, sort of young children. And her mother, a mother-in-law, she had the cottage opposite the school, and it, I mean, they've altered it now, they had a decent size lawn, you know, and she used to do games, and they were cream crackers, and then make a thick custard and put another cream cracker on top and then ice them. We thought they were delicious. The things she used to do for us, you know,
what was wonderful, was it V-Day that we went, at the Crown? You know where the car park is?
Yes.
There used to be a corrugated hut there, big corrugated. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we had a big party there. We were, of course, only, what would we be?
Nine, ten, something like that.
And we had the Victor V party.
There.
All the kids. And then
Mr. Eaton came down with his cinematograph.
And then we used to have, all dressing up, what they call it?
Fancy dress.
Oh, we're all done up for the day. And there was one child, Maxine Rothwell, do you remember her?
Yeah, she was a gypsy.
She, mum and dad worked. And she was all day in this fancy dress costume. Oh, she looked like a ragtag bobtail child by the time the day came for me. That's a wonderful times, really.
Yeah.
Down there. And that was on the cricket field.
On the cricket field?
Yeah, well, all our sports were supposed to be
sports ground.
Yeah.
So you didn't go to, I suppose it's a lot nearer, isn't it?
No, it was always the
top of Totley. Well, that field was given to the people of Totley.
Yes, yes.
And so it was used quite a lot.
Mm. Football, cricket, and they had races, didn't they? And
school used to use it, but now they have to go indoors for safety.
So all you've talked about has been at the Hotfoot
this
Road.
Part was New Totley.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you ever go down to Totley Rise or to?
No, I didn't.
No, I didn't.
I was never allowed to go to the youth club.
Where was the youth club?
Abbeydale Hall.
No, the one I knew of first was at the Methodist Church. I wasn't allowed. The Methodist Church down on the Rise.
On the corner.
Yeah, I went to Girls Life Brigade there with June. Yes, of course, isn't here today. But yeah, then there used to be the youth club down at Aberdale Hall. I don't know why I wasn't to lie. I don't think I ever went down, or went to the chip shop on the rise. My mother wouldn't let me. Oh no, I wasn't allowed to go down there, it was too far.
But I did.
But you did.
I did.
So what was it?
In the youth club.
Is this the youth club at Aberdale?
Aberdale Hall, yeah, Mr. and Mrs.
They went to Australia.
Hammond. Mr. and Mrs. Hammond had it. Yep. They used to make gorgeous scones, and we used to learn to dance there. The boys upstairs, they got snooker, darts, you know, that sort of thing.
Was it their house?
No.
They were caretakers.
They were caretakers there. And they had a gramophone. They used to have to wind the gramophone up. We used to learn to dance there. It was nice. And then halfway through the night, she'd made scones and tea. You know, it was really nice. Mm.
Did you have to pay to go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I think it was around pence. That was all. A penny.
And then when we got to teenagers, we used to go to Holmesfield to a dance in the, it was this sort of church hall. And in that church hall, at some time, there'd been a door, you know, those that were on runners.
That divide the room.
Yeah.
Or we used to get your heels caught in that. And then we'd walk from Holmesfield down home.
Down the woods.
By the angel and down that way. That's at 11 o'clock at night.
So were you used to doing this? Was this something
We did every month.
So was it a bit scary?
You never thought anything about it.
Yeah. There was a dance every week. You'd get a dance indoor church hall. And that's 1 week. Totally, they had theirs in the school, and it was Mr. Riddlesworth and his band. There was three. Peacock.
At Pernickington.
And then there was a dance at Holmesfield, like Anne said. And there was another one down Dromfield Woodhouse at the Miners. That was a cricket. Must it a cricket hut?
It's a club.
And we used to go dancing there.
So would you rotate?
Oh, yes. They've got the head screwed on.
and you know, they'd all... The Holmesfield lads had come down here. And, you know, we got there. It was mostly Holmesfield and Totley, wasn't it? Yeah. We dealt with.
June and Anne once called one Christmas. They always called at my mum's because they waited for one another to go out down the field.
And also, we used to have our high heels on when we went out, but we came back to Betty's mum's to change into flats to walk down the fields and vice versa. We used to change to mum's. All our shoes were in their porch.
And then we used
to... So what happened when you went to Holmesfield then? How did you... Because walking... I can't imagine walking through the woods in
high heels. I had a dance one. Do you remember those bags you had? Itch slipper bags.
With a drawstring at the top.
It was like a little case.
We thought we were the bee's knees. You don't have any underskirts on underneath our skirts. You stuck right out, you know.
Through the woods.
Through the woods.
That's a wonderful times.
So what was the music like? What were you listening to?
Oh, yeah. On the modern...
It's a bit Vera Lynn type.
Was it live music?
Yes, always. Three-piece band.
Yes, always.
It was up here at Totley. It was Mr. Riddlesworth, Mr. Perkington. I can't remember the other chap. They had violins and drums.
Yeah.
Very, very modern for the time.
It was the same indoor and...
Yeah.
And, of course, by the way, when we got to be 17, 18... We went to the Aberdale, didn't we?
Mostly.
And we went to City Hall.
Cutlass.
And the Cutlass Hall.
Greystones.
And Greystones.
Yeah.
And of course they got bigger bands there, you know, it was better. But we're talking like sort of early on when we used to go to Holmesfield and Dropper Woodhouse.
So how old were you when you were... allowed to go into town then?
I would think 18.
I worked in town from being 16.
Where did you work?
I worked on Cambridge Street in an office. It was a cutlery firm. It's actually up there. The property is opposite Cole Brothers, John Lewis's back entrance. And I worked there for,7 years.
What was the firm?
Sheffield Metal Company made the cutlery. And there I got married in 57. And then we didn't work much then. I did work till I got married in November 57, and I stayed there till January in Sheffield. But I went to live in Holmesfield when I got married. The only house, Hassels, you'll have heard of Hassels, Percy Hassel, they built a pair of semis at Holmesfield, and we got one. And so then I worked at an open cast mining in the office at Holmesfield. Then that closed, and then I went to work in town. But then I was found I was having my first boy. So I packed up work, and I never worked for some years. We moved from Holmesfield in 65. I wanted my son, well, I had two sons then, I wanted my son to go to the church school, because my husband and I both went to the church school. Because my husband lived on Glover Road from being one.
Right.
So we sort of met at school, but sort of met up when he came out of the forces. At the Grouse.
Oh yeah. That was our local.
That was our local.
So what was it like in the Grouse? Can you describe the Grouse?
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
It was a beer house. No spirits sold.
They had music, they had a piano and a clavier line.
And they used to have jugs, pink and blue jugs for beer, to drink the beer out of.
Yeah. We all used to sit in the window bottom. There was, about a dozen of us probably.
Yeah.
We were all
only on
together.
Saturday night. Mm. Oh, yeah. Other night. No, couldn't afford it.
Saturday nights, we did.
Yeah.
And we used to go to the Empire quite a lot, didn't
we?
You know, to the variety shows in the Empire in Sheffield.
Yes.
And
whereabouts were the Empire?
The Empire was on Charles, I think they call it Charles
Street. Yeah, Charles Street.
Because there was quite a number of picture houses in Sheffield.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But you were asking about the shops in Tottenham.
Yes, I was.
And there was, as I say, that was Rita's and Frank Evans' shop. Mm. And then on Summer Lane, there was another little shop. And Mrs. Green had that first when I was, I'd be about 6 or 7, I think, when she had that. She was a little old lady with a long black skirt. She used to come down the two steps into the shop. And it was a wooden counter. And then she'd light the candle to serve you, because there were no lights.
What? And is that house still there? Is it still standing?
No. Oh, there was the most beautiful house there that was originally the... Well, it started off as a post office.
Yeah.
But it was Joe Absence lived in it. It was beautiful. It was big stone built. You know, those big stones. Beautiful house. I mean, you wanted doing it with flag floors. And it was so funny, my brother was friendly with Toby, as I've told you, in the chapel. And he used to go in and they used to have cups of tea and jam jars.
Mrs. Absent used to make her own bread. And she used to put this dripping on. I can remember Mrs. Absent with her bread and dripping.
But it was a beautiful house. And they pulled that house, the corporation bought that house to pull it down to make a terminus.
So whereabouts was it, the house?
At the end of Summer Lane.
You know, if you were to stand in the middle of the road, just above the lights, the crossing, stand in the middle of the road, you're fleur-de-lis there. The row of houses down Baslow Road, haven't they? Mm-hmm. There's that big house on the corner here.
Mm-hmm.
It was there.
Right.
Beautiful house. If it's today, it would have been made beautiful. Big front garden, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
And at the sort of literally at the side of that was this other little cottage, which was the shop. And then you were further down to Summer Lane.
Right. Then across the main road, then you got the Nook. Oh, Mr. Unwin had the Nook, and he used to sell kali, sarsaparilla, and sort of things like that. And then below there, there was the fish and chip shop. And Mrs. Cross had the fish and chip shop. But they've all gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the only place of the note left, you can see as you're going up Baslow Road, there's some... It's like wooden planks, is about six wooden planks. Mm. And that's where the shop was.
Yeah. Then after Mr. Owen,
Oh, and then there was Perkington's, Mrs. Perkington and Mr. Perkington. They had the corner shop.
Post office. So what do they sell in there?
Everything. You name it.
You could get it. A wool, knitting wool. And she was a lovely person, Mrs. Perkington.
Mrs. Perkington. Yeah.
She was. She was lovely.
Yeah. Everybody used to torment Mr. Perkington a bit.
Oh, did they?
They torment him. Used to play his grand piano upstairs. And I remember as children, we used to howl underneath it.
when he sold us laxative chocolate for chocolate.
Oh, yes.
Was that during the war?
That was during the war. Oh, my mum went up and there.
Mm. Oh, he were comic, Mr. Perkington, really, you know, some of the tricks he pulled.
Yes, yeah. I've heard one or two stories about this.
But she was lovely. She came to live on Main Avenue here,
yeah, she
didn't
did.
She?
Somewhere.
Yeah, did she?
Yes, when she came out of the shop, yeah. But yes, you could get knitting wool, you had it laid away. She was a lovely person.
Yeah,
she was. But, and then the next shop is Main Avenue, was Tinsdale's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's at the top.
That's at the top.
Yeah, that's now Liberty's.
Yeah, yeah.
That side of the road, right. So what do Tinsdale's sell?
Everything in the grocery line. Right. You know, everything in groceries and greengrocers.
And greengrocery.
Oh, yeah.
So were there any shops on this side of Main Avenue?
Yes. The one I can remember mostly was a cycle shop and a butcher's. What do you recall?
I recall...
Because it's changed a lot. Mm. It kept on changing a lot.
Yeah. Vera Taylor... She had a hairdresser's, used to go up the stairs and on top of the, over the shops, she had a hairdresser's shop.
Oh, where Tony Bailey's lived?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where there's the hairdresser's now, is the...
Yes, but you went upstairs to the Vera Taylor's, And then, of course, you came down then to Clayton's.
That was Heatherfield shop, you know where...
Oh, there was the nursery, wasn't there?
Pearson's nursery.
Where the library is now. Yeah.
And then where the Conservative Club is, that one side was a shoe shop, cobblers.
That was Mr. Clayton's.
And then...
Mr. Barker's.
Then there were Barker's vegetable shop, and he used to boil his own beetroot at the cottage, which is next door to the school.
Yeah, yeah. You've got the smell of cooking beetroot.
Yeah.
So it was that. I mean, this top end of Totley was a village on its own.
Oh yes,
yes.
You could come on the bus from town, and you knew everybody that was on it.
Yeah.
Mm. But now you can come on the bus and you don't know a soul.
My mother's brother. She had two brothers. One was called Joe Marshall, and the other one was Frank. Everybody knows him as Old Al, you know. And he was a cobbler, but he was very crippled. He never crossed the road. Never crossed the road at all. And of course, when I was at school, he used to come home about, 12 o'clock, and my mum would have a tray, and she'd say, go and take Uncle Frank's dinner across. So I said, yes, but I want to listen to Workers' Playtime. She always got comics on there, you know. But I had to go run across the road and Pat was too young to do it. It was always me that had to go across and take his dinner. Yeah. And he never, ever crossed the road. You know, he always used to come to the top and stand by Kirby's farm wall there. And then anyone that came off the bus used to say, will you tell our Nance I want her? You see, and... Because we had no telephone. Only one. Unless... Oh, Kirby's had a telephone.
I don't know.
Is that Lanehead? Lanehead Farm, are you talking about?
Townhead Farm. Yeah, that was Kirby's farm. We used to go potato picking there. That was another thing from school. You see, we used to, in the autumn, we always went, so many out of the class from school went potato picking. And we used to go to Kirby's, Bramall's, Tim's, because Bramall's then was Wakefield's, and then... you got then Bramos came up to Wakefield, and we used to go potato picking.
So was that, what, who got the potatoes? What was that?
The children. We all picked potatoes.
They go
to the market.
Oh, right.
But it was the children. I suppose it was because our parents were, our fathers were in the war.
In the war, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the children used to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're describing another world, aren't you, really? It's changed so much.
God.
It has changed.
Yeah.
But we didn't know any different.
No, of course. You never do when you're living through it.
You're very content. Mm. I think we were more content than the children are today. We must have.
But you hadn't. We hadn't got the toys, had we? You know. I mean, we used to get the same thing every Christmas, which my mum used to get a doll's head, and she'd have to make the body. You know, and Pat and I both got a doll, and then I got a post office set, and an apple, an orange, and then. I mean, if you got 2 shilling, you know, from your aunties, you got a lot of money, you know. And then we used to go down to Smith's. My mum would take us down to Smith's. But when we went in Fitzalan Square, there used to be a toy shop there called Wilson and Gumpets. And I used to love that shop. And I used to say, can we go and see that black man that stands outside Wilson and Gumpets? And we saw one black man.
Who was he?
I don't know. He was an oldish chap. But he always reminded me of Uncle Remus off Song of the South. And I love that film. Mm. And I used to say, can we go and see that black man? There wasn't any. There wasn't any coloured people. You know, so it was a novelty. Yeah.
Happy days.
I think we've about come to the end of that interview, haven't we, really?
Well, I think that's most of the shops we've told you about. There were some lovely shops on the top of Mickley, wasn't there?
Yeah, on top of Mickley, where there's the co-op. I went to work at the co-op when I was 15, and I left when I got married. And I was 23. Well, the
co-op was in three shops originally.
Yeah.
There was the veg that Betty was in.
Yeah.
Then there was the butcher's.
Yeah.
And then there was the grocery.
Yeah.
And it had one of those things where you went, and it shot through into an office with your money. They used to twist it onto the thing.
Yeah.
And they used to slice your bacon as you went.
Yeah, and cut your cheese, and then the butter was in a big...
Oh, butter were in big slab.
Big slabs.
And you just have to pat it.
Butter, yeah.
Oh, it was wonderful. So it was in the building that we know now as
the co-op. Yes,
but it was in three separate shops.
Two small and one big.
Yeah, but they only had one cashier. So you had the...
They went through holes in the wall. Those lines.
Yeah.
Where you put your money up and it went.
Just went along.
Yeah. And your divvy number.
I worked for the co-op, I was 15, and I had to start and go out for orders, you know, for the co-op on a Monday. And I used to walk on a Monday. I had Monday off to do this, and I used to walk up to Morewoods Lane, and the first call was Mr. Ward, the rambler.
Oh,
yeah. And
what was he like?
He was a biggish fella, and he was, I was frightened of him, actually, because he was big. But why I was frightened, I used to think, let him be out, please let him be out. He had a great big Yorkshire range, and then he'd say, come and sit yourself down, lass, sit there, and this is called, get you a drink. Well, his drink was currants that had been stewed in this Yorkshire range, and they'd pour a glass of this juice, currant juice, and they used to say, to do me good, and I had to drink it. And I used to think, I hope he's not in. And his wife, she used to lay on a chaise longue thing, you know, she was an old lady. Yeah. And his daughter, Elizabeth, he had two daughters, can't remember the name of one, but one was called Elizabeth, and I think she worked for the council. And I used to think, oh, I hope it's Elizabeth that's there and not Mr. Ward. But it was harmless, but yet I don't know whether it was because I was young and he was such a big fella. You know, I don't know.
In photographs of him, he doesn't look to be very
big. No, but I was only sort of, I wasn't very big, you know. No. And then I used to go to Evans's, higher up on the left-hand side, and then I used to go to the Pewit, where I went to Fisher's, Mrs. Gascoigne, and then there was the tea shop.
Pewit Cafe.
Then
across you've heard
the
about
road,
that,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes. And then there was Sears and Brian's. I used to call up the other side of the road and take their orders there. And then I used to go up to the Lidget, down to Mrs. Sheldon's. And if I was lucky, George Sheldon, they had fields somewhere down Millthorpe. And he used to say, if I got my bike, he'd put the bike on his trailer. And then he'd take me down Millthorpe. And then I'd have to work my way back to go to Mr. Fisher's, Mr. Gascoigne's, and up to Holmesfield. Then I got Rags. They had a beautiful house. It was a beautiful house. It had a long drive up to it. And then I'd go then to old Mr. Rags that was at the top next door to the chapel. And he used to say, come in, lass. He said, and he'd give me he'd go and fetch an egg. He had some chickens and they'd boil me an egg. And then I used to go then to Mrs. Goodall's, who had the post office in Holmesfield, and I had my lunch there. And then I used to go on to where they were the prefabs. They called them prefabs, but
they're not. They stood up to the wind,
didn't they?
In 62.
And there was a Mrs. Bryan there. She had two great big St. Bernard's, and then I went to another house, and I can't remember what they called them. Then I'd come down to Dronfield Woodhouse to go to down Car Lane, and I went to Belk's, and then Adlington's, and then home.
That's a huge.
I used to walk.
You used to walk, or go on your bike?
I had the walk, yeah. Or odd times, if my bike was all right, I'd ride the bike. But I used to carry the orders, the money from the week before, and the Christmas club money, and the chequebooks, because you had, the cheques for the co-op, you know, the divvy, and never, I've ridden in bin lorries, George Fisher's,
So with then would you go back to the shop
and then back
on
to the
co-op
and add everything up and and get the orders
and
in.
Then it would be delivered
the following Friday, and then I'd be there again on the Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, until they decided, I think after about 2 years, that I could go on the Friday and go with the delivery man and do it that way, but it took them 2 years for me to sort it out, yeah. So I used to go on then on a Friday.
So did you enjoy doing that?
Yes, I did. Yeah, my sister came with me. When she was on holiday, she used to come with me. So it was nice then, you know, it was someone to talk to.
And how old were you when you were doing that?
15, 16. And
That's
17. I'd be 17 when I used to go in the lorry, in the big van.
It's a big responsibility, isn't it, doing that?
I suppose, yeah. But nobody bothered you. Everybody was.
No. I used to.
Everybody knew you, you know, and when I think of how many cakes and buns and drinks I had, everyone was so nice, you know. Yeah, they were coming.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I worked on Cambridge Street, and I used to have to go to Church Street and fetch the wages. And I mean, you wouldn't dare do it today. I never thought about anything about it. I just used to go and fetch so many hundreds. It were only hundreds of pounds then. And walk back to Cambridge Street and start doing the wages.
How much would we get? I started at £1.10 when I was 15. And when I got married, I got £5 a week. and Eric got £7.10 a week because he was farming.
So when was that? When were you?
That was 1958, right. And we got married. Mm. And we went to live at Hollin House, up Strawberry Lane. Mm. And we got £12.10 between us. And then, of course, we went across then to work. We were there 2 years. And then we went across to live at the farm, in the Highbury Farm.
Indoor.
Yeah. So we've done a full circle, really, yes. Because...
And now you're back.
I'm back in the now. Where, yes, because Eric lived at the grouse, you see, when... it came after June Foster and Roy. They moved out on the 20th of October, 1954. And Eric and his family moved in to the grouse on that day, you know, which 20th of October, 1954. So and it was Anne that introduced me to Eric. Right, right. So
was it still a beer house at that point?
Yes. It was a beer house until end of October, 1958. Yeah. That's when it closed.
Why did it close, do you think?
Well, they used to build another pub. You know, a public house. They'd take the license off a.
They took two beer licenses to make a spirit house. Mm. So, Grouse was a beer house, and there'd be another beer house somewhere. And they'd take two beer houses to have a spirit house.
So, there was another pub in Totley?
No, we didn't listen Totley.
It could have been anywhere.
It could be, yeah. I mean, with enough pubs, if you work it out in Totley.
There was a lot, that's why it was a pub.
Yeah, but they used to always be full.
Yeah,
we went to the Crosssides on Monday for a reunion. And if we hadn't have been there, I think there was about four people in.
Was that in the evening?
Yeah. Mm. I went to the bar. A small glass of wine, white wine, and a lime and lemonade, £6. Mm. So is there any wonder the places are for sale?
So what did you pay when you were at the grouse? What were you paying for a jug of beer? What was that?
I can't remember.
Well, in 1960, at Holmesfield, I was working in the pub, the Angel. And it was 1 and 5. That was in 60. So I would say it would be 11 pence or 10 pence in the grouse. In 50, when Eric and his mum moved in, and brother and sister and dad.
Yeah. Mm.
That's all it would be.
But Pat, my sister, and she's still got it. I can show it to you too. I will show it to you. She got married in... 18 months after me, so that 1960. And she had a wedding reception at the Cross Highs in the pub there. And she still got the bill, and it was £38. And she's got it's all down. So I will show it to you. I'll see if I can borrow it, and I'll show it to you. And you can take a copy of it.
So different, yes. See, it was lovely up at the Cross Highs originally. Over the top. This now it's all boarded in below, isn't it? Where the horses went in, and there was all at the back. There was all troughs for where the horses were fed. And then over the top of that, there was a big room, and we used to use that room for all sorts of things, didn't we?
That's where Pat had the wedding reception.
Yeah, for like Totley Independence show, garden show, and all that sort of thing. We used to use it. It was lovely, and the inside of the cross side were beautiful. It was panelled small rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, you could say put a dozen in each room. Oh, it was beautiful. And then where's that wood gone? It was up. It's really beautiful wood.
Well, they've opened them all up now, haven't they?
Yeah.
The rooms are all. Yeah. The cricket, but I've not been in, so I don't know. But you see, you've got the cricket, the crown. That's quite good. Mm. And then you've got
Fleur's Lee,
but I believe they're going to alter that. So I've been told whether they're doing.
I think there are plans to alter Fleur's.
Yes. Mm. So then, how many pubs were there in Totley? There was Fleur de Lee, Grouse, Cricket, Crown.
Cross.
Five.
Just in this top bit.
Five pubs.
And they were all full. And they were regularly
full. Oh, yeah.
And then the shops.
You see, there was no cars.
No. Never saw a car, really. Well, you could count on your hand how many people had got cars at the top of Totley there. There was Mr. Tim, he had a car. Mr. Perkington, he had a little old car. Mr. Kirby had a grey car that he delivered milk. Wakefield had a car. Mr. Morris had a car. Slater's then down at Totley Bent.
Well, they had the haulage pay. Have you been down at Totley Bent lately?
No.
On one property, it looks as if they've built a village.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll have to go and have a look.
Yeah. Just gone out, you'd be surprised. Up Moss Lane and on Penny Lane. It's amazing. I don't know how they've got away with it. It's just, well, I think it's going to be holiday cottages. It looks like it, you know, where they built where the pigsties were. Looks like holiday cottages.
Don't know.
Well, thank you both. That was really interesting and very valuable for us. Thank you.
One all day.